Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be true to your word, be faithful to your word, and all those that are of me or of the world fall to the ground as trash. We love you. We give you all the glory. Transform us today. Form us into your image through the powerful words that we're about to share today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in week two of something I've never done. This is a series called Patterns. And I'm glad you're here. This is a very big day of worship. When I was a kid, I really didn't like going to church. Can anybody relate? The hour at church felt like 10 hours. It was so long and boring. I went to Trinity, so we were able to, when you're in the choir, you sat up in the balcony, and you can sort of goof around until your dad shot a glance up there, and then you had to stop. So I had to learn how to be surreptitious. That's where I learned to be surreptitious in that service. I wish I'd realized then what I know now, that this hour of worship is essential to my entire life in far greater ways than I ever realized. In fact, did you know that there are around 8 billion people on the planet right now? We are joining in worship with all 8 billion people right now. That may sound strange to hear, but everybody worships something.
I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. But they had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. But they had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Skit Guys, but they're remarkably talented couple of guys that communicate the message so well. So how do we worship? Has so much more to do with our lives than we realize. Everybody in the world right now is worshiping. This hour actually starts a pattern that is essential to the health of your life in very, very big ways. And we are in week two of something that I've never done before personally. We're spending 5 weeks studying just 2 Bible verses. It isn't out of laziness. It's out of a deep desire for our transformation and growth. And last week, we studied the first part of these 2 verses. We are learning 5 words to help us understand the patterns of our lives. And the first word was realize. We learned that we need to realize that we all have patterns. As we saw, the Apostle Paul says that he urges us to not conform to the patterns of what? Our patterns of the world. So we learned that we all have patterns. Many patterns are neutral in our lives, like which sock we put on first, or where we sit at church, or the most controversial one that we approached last week is how do you put the toilet paper on the roll? That stirred up so much controversy, and we need to stop it now. Let's all come together, people, and forgive those that roll it the wrong way. That's just the way we do it. They don't hurt us. They don't fulfill us. They just are. But many patterns are either a blessing or a sabotage in our lives, okay? The pattern of brushing your teeth to start and end your day, good. The pattern of eating ice cream and Doritos as you binge your favorite show till 2 in the morning, bad. The pattern of exercising some each day, good. The pattern of never finishing what you start, bad. The pattern of treating people with kindness and respect, good. The pattern of cheering for any team except the Detroit Lions, okay, I'm sorry, bad. We need to realize that patterns are everywhere. So Paul is urging us to be aware of our patterns in life, right? He's not just saying, hey, you might want to be aware. I'm urging you to be aware of what you do, of what you do on a regular basis. So that what? So that you don't conform to the patterns of the world, because those patterns hurt our lives. And those patterns hinder our walk with Jesus. Now, here are the verses. Hopefully, you'll commit these to memory this month. I've already asked volunteers to come forward, and they've declined. So let's just read it together, shall we? I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So after we realize that we have patterns, the next piece we need to is to release our bad patterns to God. Do you see what we need to release? Well, it says it right in that verse. It says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Paul is saying here that Jesus already taught us in the Gospels. Jesus said that anyone who wants to follow him must what? Give up their life. They must take up their cross daily and follow him. But do we? Do we really give up our lives? Do we really offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? We're coming into an interesting time. We celebrate freedom in this country, right? I love it. I'm all about freedom. I'm constantly praying for people to be set free in life. Jesus came to set us free. It is a major message during this political season. I see flags, I see bumper stickers, don't tread on me, or born free, and other phrases like that. We are the land of free, after all, so I can do whatever I want to. So we shout out Jesus quotes like, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I love that verse. I love the freedom I feel in life. But herein lies the problem. Far too many Christians don't understand what Jesus meant by freedom. Let's see if we can get a better grasp this way. Before Paul wrote the Romans 12 verses that we just read to about not conforming to the patterns of the world, he wrote these words about freedom in chapter 6. Since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can keep on sinning? Of course not. You can see, that's how he said it too. Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey God. And you obey this teaching we have given you wholeheartedly. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. What did we just read? Well, I read it clumsily, but here's what we read. Paul is speaking reality. He's saying that we are all a slave to something or someone. That's what he's saying, flat out. He's saying that we really don't understand what it means to be free. Paul is warning us that if we declare that we are free to do whatever we want to, then sin will eventually enslave us. Let's play out a few scenarios. Let's say I'm hurt by someone. So in my freedom, I choose not to forgive them. Because why? Because they hurt me so badly. But instead, I put a wall up because it feels better to hold a grudge than to fix the problem. At first, that seems like an easy way to handle the tension. I'm free to ignore the problem. But then another person hurts you. Your wall gets thicker as you push them away. Over time, the pattern is formed, and you have a hard heart against people. You've forced yourself into that. That freedom to hold a grudge has led to an enslaved wall of isolation and loneliness. Let's say I've had a rough day. I'm free to do whatever I want to do. I need a stiff drink to take the edge off. I do that the next day, but I need two drinks because it takes a bit more for my body to respond. A few days go by and I hit the weekend. I really need to check out mentally, so I keep drinking that I can barely stand up. So in your freedom, you say, I won't do that again. But a few weeks later, a friend throws a party. Ugh. You were feeling uncomfortable there, so you drink more than normal. After all, you are free. That's painful, isn't it? Think about that. You can see where this is headed if you string enough days, months, and years together. One day you wake up enslaved to the very thing you felt freedom to pursue. The examples can continue all day. You fill in your own freedom-filled vice, food and greed and laziness. Do you know where all those reveal to us? Freedom is a dangerous weapon. That's what Paul is saying. So here's a summary of what Paul was warning us about in Romans 6. Real and lasting freedom is found in choosing to surrender. When you release your free will to Jesus Christ, you find freedom in your obedience to Christ. Real freedom starts when you surrender. And this leads us right back to worship. Offering your body as a living sacrifice is so deeply beautiful for your soul. Listen to the rest of the verse in Romans 12. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. All the worship wars among churches is so sad to me. I've heard so many comments about worship through the years. I hear people say that true worship is when the organ is played, or hymns like Jesus intended. Or true worship is to be somber and serious, quiet and meditative. Or others say worship is a celebration. It needs about to be loud and joyous. True worship should fill the heart and give you goosebumps. Worship is singing. Worship is praying. I've heard people say, if I'm not tired after, I didn't worship. My voice should be hoarse. Or true worship has to be rooted in traditions. It has to be connected to the early church. So we have to have the Apostles' Creed. We have to have the Lord's Prayer. We need drums. We need great preaching. We need communion. I could go on and on. I really could. And Michael could too, if you're in this world. But you know what those comments are? They're opinions. And worse than that, they are distraction. I heard Chuck Swindoll say, the church is the only place on earth in which we put our firing squad in a circle. As long as we fight each other about what true worship is, we are distracted from the real answer Paul just laid out for us very plainly. True worship is found when we offer our lives as a sacrifice to God and others. I'm offering my life to you too. This hour and Sunday is intended by God to be just a spark. That's what it is for me. It's a spark. It's a starter. It's a foretaste to the continual worship that I'm going to experience all week long. Paul is letting us know that when you deny yourself and you surrender, you are worshiping. That includes the other 167 hours beyond our 1 hour together each week. Here's another way to summarize all of what Romans 12 is teaching us. Our patterns are evidence of what we truly worship. I guess I'm just pausing to give yourself time to figure out what those patterns are that would indicate true worship and what aren't. This is not about me, but I tell you, if I didn't say to myself, you are going to do a shared devotion with your men's group, you're going to study time in the Word, and then you're going to pray for your prayer list. That's what I do every morning before the TV goes on. I just have to. I have to. If I break that pattern, and I have, it's about a year ago, I realized I haven't done a devotion in 2 days because I was really busy doing stuff. So I'm just using it as an example. One might be for you. When you go to bed at night, it might be a prayer that you have to pray. Don't you love that with your grandkids, and they want you to pray for them, and that it has to be the one that makes them feel good, that makes them comforted, and makes them know how much they're loved. That's a pattern you don't ever want to break. So I've been thinking through all the patterns all around us in this life. The more I'm realizing that we worship self far more than Jesus many times. We worship our stomachs. I'm sucking my stomach in right now as we speak. We worship our taste buds. We worship our happiness, our greeds. We worship our feelings and desires. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's calling us out. He's saying, listen, guys, I urge you to look at the patterns of your life. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying you're a human being, and you have patterns. And the patterns that you establish, if they're of this world, lead to destruction, lead to sadness, lead to loneliness. All the times that you've had the final, have to have the final word, all the times you have to get the credit, all the times you get angry when you didn't get your way, all the times you choose gluttony, all the times you didn't help someone else in need because you care more about your own comfort. As we look at the patterns in our lives, it's easy to see, we often think it's more about me. What is it for you? Maybe accomplishment or accolades? All these are a result of a pattern. If you can't find your pattern, you can predict potential problems. So what am I saying when I say that? You may be fighting the same generational demon that attacked your granddaddy. We often label or define our lives too quickly when it's actually just a bad pattern. You may say, I'm not a morning person. No, actually, you watch Netflix all night and you drink coffee after 8 p.m. So that doesn't mean you're not a morning person. Or I'm a bad student. No, this was me. You procrastinate. You listen to music while you study. Or you say, I'm disorganized. Those all worked when I was 17, in my mind. When you simply just have a pattern of not sticking to the plan of organization. And let me pause here. The danger of this series is that we will simply treat it like a New Year's resolution, okay? This is not a temporary thing. That you will be convicted of the patterns you need to change and the healthy ones you need to add to your life. And I hope you don't walk away from these weeks with a checklist of things to do to make your life better. Humanity has tried that from the beginning. Our way of trying to fix it ourselves with hard work hasn't helped because we are prone to wander. Eventually, our healthy habits often get subtly sabotaged with unhealthy ones. It's why resolutions don't work. Why? How? It's what we read in our two verses. In view of God's mercies, God is loaded with mercy as we learn about patterns. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, God. So you're not standing there with a stick ready to whack me when I make the wrong decision. Because early in Romans, we learned that the patterns we fall into started with, you know who, Adam. Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin, as did Adam, who is a pattern of humanity. But the gift is not like sin. For if the many died by the sin of Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of Jesus Christ overflow to the many? It's like I told you in my devotion this morning, when I'm at my lowest spiritually or physically or emotionally, God's grace and the gift of Jesus Christ overflow. News alert, we're all born into Adam's lineage. Didn't know if you knew that. We share him as an ancestor. Did you see how Paul said it? Adam is a pattern of humanity, right? Adam is a pattern of humanity. It's why we need a release. We need to release our lives to Jesus. It's what it means to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. So what are your patterns? That's a question for you this week. Last week we talked about just realizing that we do have patterns. Realize that it is a natural part of being a human being, is we have patterns. God has created a world of order, not chaos. And our brains get us to the part where we are going to be protected. But sometimes that's protected with the worldly false idols. And today we're talking about releasing ourselves. And this, again, is not a one-time. This is not you do it here and then you leave and go home. This is, Lord, I'm waking up this morning. I am releasing myself to you. I'm taking up my cross. I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice. I will walk where you want me to walk. I will love others the way you love me. You have to decide that as a pattern in your life every morning. Otherwise, we default to comfort and ease. Let's pray. Father, you've given us opportunity to experience your grace and your mercy and your love every day. And the beautiful thing is, you're not worldly, Lord. You don't want us to clean up and be good boys and girls, and then you will pat us on the head and say, you did well. No, you want us to come to you in our imperfections. You want us to come to you in our shortcomings. You want us to come to you broken and in need of a Savior. Lord, we have our salvation by accepting your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we are not done. We are a work in progress. We realize that we have patterns that sometimes can be life-affirming and sometimes can be life-destructive. And now we are learning this week that we need to release those to you, to say, here are the patterns, Lord, that I think are destructive. Speak to me. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. How can I better serve you today and always? In Jesus' name, amen.